Good morning, everyone. A little bit of an interesting turn of events has turned into a pre-recorded message that I'll be bringing to you all. So, though it is late tonight, hopefully everybody will be listening to this in the morning. But I still want to do my due diligence and bring the Word of God to everyone who listens online and to our church family who, unfortunately, due to the excessive heat and a broken air conditioner, we won't be meeting in person. But that doesn't mean that we still can't hear what God has to say. So today I will be speaking primarily out of Ephesians. So if you want to turn to Ephesians 1, about the infallible purpose of Christ. And so, Father, we just thank you for the ability to just hear what it is you're saying, what you have prepared for your people, Lord. And that, Father, in this encouragement, in this brief message that is being prepared, Father, that you would just be glorified, that you would be honored, you would be lifted up. And that, Lord, most importantly, your people that would hear what it is you're saying would understand what it is that you are doing, the bigger picture that is before each and every one of us, God. So we thank you for your infallible purpose. We thank you that you've laid all of these things out for us and that all these things that have been prepared for your people, God, that it's because of what you have foreseen and what you are planning to do. And so may we be in agreement with your word and may we hear what it is you're saying and put those things into practice, practical practice, so that our lives can reflect Christ as they should. We give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're with me in Ephesians, we're really going to start kind of right at the beginning. We'll start at verse 7. So verse 7, Ephesians 1 says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself." And this is key. We have that purpose that is in Christ abound to us. Verse 10 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Now this kind of sets the tone for where we're going, where we hear and we see in this letter to the to Ephesus that Paul is bringing up something that is kind of important. I think it's something we know, but we maybe don't fully appreciate, or we sometimes maybe take advantage of knowing, is that in the redemption and the forgiveness of sins, yes, that's all found in Christ Jesus, but the purpose for why he has done these things according to his grace is so that we being one with him have the wisdom, the prudence, and the mystery of his will. In that we know now, and again, we're going to kind of jump ahead here to Ephesians 2 now. And this is where this will start to make sense, hopefully, everyone who is with me here. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." Verse 10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, and that we should walk in them." If we see that God has purposed in us something that is greater than ourselves, 1, 2, that we also understand that it's not going to be based off of what we do. Now, this can get very murky at times because we understand God has bestowed upon us gifts, talents, and all these immeasurable things in his provision, in his goodness, and in his perfect design. And we think that those things are what is this infallible purpose. Well, the works that are being talked about here are not talking about those types of works. It's talking about the works that we believe that we do for him that are of our own measure or of our own validity. We tend to, in this walk of ours, we tend to build up our meaning, our need, our worth, our value by the things that we do, and I'm putting up air quotes, for God. Where a lot of the things that God has called us to do are mostly, and most of the times, not nearly as taxing, not nearly as costly, but it requires us to actually demonstrate our faith or to believe in those things that he says about us and live a life that actually reflects that that's the truth. And so we see this here, right? We see that. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if we understand that he has predestined, as this is where this predestination message is, you know, going to find a lot of its value. A lot of people take predestination as the final destination, that purpose, that we know that there's an end in mind, which this is true, and God knows that. But if we know that he knows that there's an end in mind and his plan for said end in mind involves the utility of those who are in his son, and that through him, his son, those who are with him are not just inheritors of the goodness of God, the inheritors of the placement of Christ Jesus at the right hand of the Father, the inheritors of salvation, of righteousness, and all of those things, but that those things all have a purpose. And it's not just for yourself. Again, going back to that verse, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And a lot of times we can see that's just like, oh, well, that's the work mentality and dealing with people that think that they can work themselves into salvation. And although that's true, when I read this and I see what God's saying, I see that it's a little bit different because it's not just applying to that simple aspect of salvation, but because we understand there's a greater purpose that God has in us and it's all hidden in Christ Jesus. Well, we know that not just salvation is found in Christ. There is more that Christ has done. There's all of the works that he has done, and he had said, you will do even greater works than these, right? So we know that there's a purpose that Christ had in his demonstration, the things that he did before us, the things he taught, the things he brought the apostles through and led them to make them aware of what was coming up, the things that were going to be on deck. And then all of the letters, all of the writings, the divine mentions, these things are all provision from God for us to be continuing that purpose that Christ had from when he was here with us to after he has ascended. And this is where this gets even better, because we understand the asset, the benefit of him even saying that he would leave us with a helper, right? And we know that helper to be the Holy Spirit. So if we go to 2 Timothy, by the way, in case you're wondering, this is where I started, and God just so happens to do what he does best and highlight these additional parts through Ephesians. But if you go to 2 Timothy, first chapter, verse 8 again, and a couple verses here, it says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us, and here it is, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, there it is again, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time begun, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is where, again, this is where I started, but now seeing how this ties up with Ephesians, we know that this was preordained by God. We know that there is a purpose that is hidden in Christ Jesus, and it is not of works, right? Not of ourselves. But this was the catch. And this is why this is so important, having Timothy to go along with this. And again, very much aware that we have this understanding that when we are dealing with how God works and how God does these different things, we understand that He has a bigger plan than ourselves. There's something bigger than just us. And so this is taken into two frameworks. One, it deals with the individuality, right? Us as people, as individuals found in Christ. A holy calling, right? And I'm going back here to verse 9, right? Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. The key part here is that he doesn't say just you. He says us. Us is key, because us is expressing how this is greater than just an individual. This is a combination effort. And so what I find really awesome about this is how you can take different parts of certain aspects of how we see this again in Scripture. We know this through the teachings through the body of Christ and how all the parts come together and work together for the edification of the church. And we have that with the different ascension gifts. We have it with fivefold ministry. We have it in so many different areas throughout the Scriptures that tell us about how God's plan, it always embraced this idea or this understanding that within Christ, there are many parts. And all of those parts working together are part of the purpose that God has. So what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us as individuals, though? Because as an individual believer, we might see ourselves in a position where we're maybe not sure of what our holy calling is. Or maybe we feel a certain way about church and we believe that, you know, we can do church kind of our way, or, you know, I can listen online and it's okay. You know, I know where I'm at with God and I know my relationship with Jesus is good. And these are all good things. But if there's something that God has specifically called you to do, and that calling requires us to be obedient, not just to the dictates of our personal involvement, but how we're working with the other believers that God has put with us for something greater than ourselves. This is the infallible purpose in Christ, because He has designed and formatted for us a method and a way that is far reaching and far greater. And it has existed since we've started this whole endeavor. Since Jesus has come, since He has paid the ultimate price, since He has given of Himself His blood and has paid for all sin on the cross, and He has given us an access to Himself, to His Spirit, for those things all contained within Him and His Spirit are accessible, not just to a spirit. We might say it's like, oh, it's a select group, or it's only these group of people, but it's open to anybody, but it's only open to those who understand that this is what comes with Him. Sure. Can you just have Jesus and have salvation? Sure. But there's something greater than you that He wants to do. And if we're not listening and we're not hearing Him and we're not chasing after Him to find out what that holy calling is, then we're neglecting that salvation. And you might be like, well, I don't know if that's necessarily true, Pastor, because I don't think you maybe don't believe you can walk out of your salvation, or maybe you don't think the consequences of those things. Well, I'm not the judge. But I look at what God says, and I hear what he says in his word over and over and over again. One of the things I come back to constantly is that if it's something greater than ourselves, and it's something that has to do with us being connected with other fellow believers in Christ, then I look at that very, very, as a very important factor to the full scope of what God's actually trying to get at, which is, we weren't here and we weren't given Christ just for salvation. We weren't given Jesus just as a method to get to heaven. We were given Jesus because in him are found all of these gifts, all of these benefits, all of these things, not just salvation, right? I mean, maybe it's me, but when I read this, I says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, right? Talking about, let's not be afraid to speak. Let's not be afraid to share the gospel. Let's not be afraid to talk about what he has done. Amen. Nor of me as prisoner, Paul speaking again of himself, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us. So it's not just salvation. It's salvation plus. It's salvation and. So here's how I look at that. Can you just have salvation? Sure you can. But are you neglecting if and is there, right? It's not and or. It's and. And is included. So that means it's a package deal. And if you're wondering what I mean by that, let's put it to you this way, okay? If you are a married person, you're married, and you have your spouse, and you're going on a date, and you're doing something together, and the entire date, though you're out together, you're on your phone the entire time. You're not paying attention to her. You're not listening to her stories. You're not talking to her. You're checked out. Is that a good thing? I would argue that's a horrible thing. I would be questioning whether or not that person's even your wife anymore, because you're neglecting her or him. How long do you think that's going to last? Now, I understand we're human, and we're not God, and we don't have the same measure of grace and same measure of holiness that he has. But I look at that and I go, and doesn't mean we get to pick and choose what we keep. And means we're responsible for both ends of that bargain. We're responsible, as long as we are calling on the name of Jesus for salvation, then we are also responsible to follow up with that calling that he has called us to. That's what I read. And that most importantly, it's not according to our works. And I think that the reason he's putting that there is because that's the catch. The catch is, what are we doing? We're accepting salvation, but we're trying to do the other part our way. That's what that means. We're doing it one way. We're taking the one side of the benefit, but we're doing the other part so we can sail it away. And we can just control the outcomes. We can control how it ends up. We don't have to commit to this. We don't have to do things the hard way. But we are told that there's sufferings for the gospel. That we're going to have to deal with hardships. That we're going to have to. So why are we banking away hardship that's supposed to come with the deal so that he can be glorified in it all? So we can just continue to do it our way and just hold on to that salvation. He has the purpose. It's in Christ. Excuse me. And if we're going to follow him, and we're going to agree with him, and we're going to sign up for this, and we're going to say we want his salvation, we want his goodness, we want his holiness, we want his righteousness, then by golly, we better step up, and we better want his holy calling, and we better respond with, yes, Lord. This is what it means because it's infallible. And infallible to me means it's ordained. So you might be like, well, what about free will? Okay. You have a freedom will to choose. But this is why I go back to, if you're choosing to do things in your own will and your own works, and you're trying to do that all on your own, have you really taken him up on that salvation side too? I truly believe that we as believers, we as the ones who have committed our lives to God and believe that there is something greater than ourselves, have to understand that in that agreement, we are saying to God, please, Lord, have your way with me. Whatever it looks like, whatever you want to do, I'm with you. I want to do what you want to do. If this is where you want me to be, I'm going to, it doesn't matter if, man, I hate where I live, and man, I don't like that the taxes are through the roof here. None of us here in New Jersey enjoy paying taxes, but you know what? If God says, here's my place, here's my mission, here's where I'm going to be, I have to trust that he's going to take care of that and all of the other stuff. And you know, it's amazing that he will, and he provides, and he shows up, and he makes himself faithful, or we're committed to stepping up and doing those things that he's called us to do. Because believe it or not, to everyone who's hearing and listening to this, he's got something special in you. He's called you to do something greater than yourself. And it's not just being a mom or being a dad or being a hard worker at your job or being a good friend or being a good neighbor. There's something he wants you to do with others. There's something he wants you to partner up with and join together with and link arms with other brothers and sisters so that together, united as one, we accomplish the greater good for God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, I just thank you that you have called us to something greater than ourselves. And I thank you for each one listening, Lord, and I pray that all that hear and listen today, Lord, that they would have a deeper revelation of this holy calling that you have put in them and that you are drawing them from. And that, Lord, I pray that they would respond. I pray that if they're not in a church, Lord, they would find their home. You would lead them to that place, Lord. I pray, God, that they would be able to find their purpose. They would link arms with other brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that as iron sharpens iron, they would all be strengthened. And that more and more of your gospel would be preached, more and more of your hands would go forth doing the wondrous, miraculous works that you've called us to do. Not of ourselves, but by you and by your name and by your power and by your might, God. May we see a radical rising up of the church. Because those who are responding to this holy calling are linking arms and finishing those assembly lines, finishing those connections that allow your message and your word to go out. I thank you, Lord, and I bless you, and I pray for each and every one, Lord, that hears this, Lord, that they would be able to just hear your voice clearly and know that you are calling them. And I thank you, Jesus. Amen.